What's Jesus up to? You know, at one level, it looks as if Jesus is showing us what a proper seating chart must be for some gathering of people, for a dinner party. At one level, it looks like Jesus is saying, okay, these people should sit here and these people should sit there. And when you have a host, make sure you know who you're inviting, okay? Because we need to take a quick look first at how things were done and how things were practiced then. For instance, when you went to a party, when you went to a dinner party, you wanted to be noticed, okay? You wanted to be noticed. And so people would just show up at the dinner party and then hightail it to the place of honor, the seats of honor. Why? Because they want to be seen in the seats of honor. Because that shows some status, some prestige in society, in that place and at that time. And it really isn't much different today. How many of you have ever put together a seating chart for a wedding reception? I know some people over here have. You've been a part of that? Okay. Now, sometimes that can be a joyous experience. I got some people giggling. And there are other times it can be a source of a lot of stress, right? Because there's a lot of thought that goes into where people might sit at this wedding reception. Because we have the table of honor, the wedding, the bride and the groom and the wedding party sit in their place, and then the tables closest will be those places of honor. And then further and further away, sometimes is perceived as less honorable. Now, what Jesus is saying here is, if you're invited to one of these things and you don't know where you're supposed to sit, don't hightail it up to that first place, the places of honor, because you may find yourself in a very embarrassing situation. You hightail it up there and you place sit down, and then the host comes. After you've gotten settled in, the host comes and says, I'm sorry, Michael, but there's somebody more honorable and has more status in our little gathering than you, so you need to get up and move down to this last place, and you get to do that in front of everybody else now. So Jesus says, don't do that. You're going to be embarrassed, okay? And then he talks to the hosts. When you invite people to your dinner party, to this party, don't just pick the people that can repay you with another dinner party that they'll invite you to. No. See, let's say Bob, you and I, you're going to have a dinner party, okay? And Bob has invited me to a dinner party. And I don't know why you would do that, because I was going to say next, because there's some status in being invited to Bob's dinner party, okay? And you want to be sitting up at the places of honor. And so Bob might invite me to sit up at one of those places, but then Bob's going to expect me, when I have my dinner party, to make sure that I invite Bob to my dinner party, right? That's how it works. Now, in some societies, like in particular the one that Jesus was living in, there was a lot of energy that went into that. You wanted to make sure that you were seen at those places, because society would see you in those places and go, ah, these are the people that have status in our society. And you wanted to be one of those persons. That sometimes happens in church. Did you know that? Especially out east, I learned about this in like New England. In some of the churches, they had pews with names on them. You can go there and you'll see family names on the pews. You know what I'm talking about. And there, you would be assigned sometimes a pew. And the closer, believe this, the closer to the front, the more status you had. Right? Yeah, you guys knew this already, didn't you? Yeah, all right. So, and then you would have your name on the pew. Isn't that something? And or you could buy one. Right? You could buy your way into that. So literally, there might be a fee for you to have these front pews. Now, these pews back here are cheaper. That's because us Lutherans are frugal, right? We got to put our money into more important things than where we're going to sit in worship. But that's what would happen, okay? And there was times not, you wanted, if you were a person of status or wanted to be a person of status, in some cultures, like in Jesus' time, you wanted to make sure, and in these Eastern, some of these Eastern churches, you wanted to make sure that you were seen in some of these churches. And then there were some churches more so than others that you wanted to make sure you were seen in because they carried more status. Okay? That's the way it is. And Jesus is pointing out, don't do that. Don't do that. I'd like to, for you to consider a little bit, for those of you that have been a part of putting together a wedding reception seating chart and know that the efforts that went into that, I'd like to have you consider a little bit a state dinner by the White House, okay? And the efforts that go into the protocol of who sits where, who has the priority, right? Just imagine what this is like, okay? Well, how many of you have ever heard or studied the order of precedence of the United States of America? It's right here in my hands. Revised for 2017. I'd like to read a little bit of this for you, okay? In 1908, the Roosevelt administration created the first U.S. order of precedence as a means of settling a history of embarrassments, confusion, and miscommunication amongst officials invited to the events at the White House. Did Jesus see this coming? Right? There were embarrassments at these state gatherings where these people of government prestige or status would put on these engagements. There needed to be a protocol. There needed to be a protocol on where and how people were treated. Okay? It continues. There's other things here that is very helpful. A few basic principles regarding precedence should be noted. Here we go. First, the host or hostess of a meeting or event always takes the primary position of precedence, regardless of their title or traditional ranking. Second, a person's relative precedence may increase or decrease depending on the policy or context behind the particular meeting or event, or based on the wishes of the host on any occasion. So there's wiggle room. Then continues, the methodology used in ordering officials for this list includes the United States Code, statutory prescription or precedence, including executive orders, well-established and widely accepted principles, procedures, and traditions throughout the history of the order of precedence. Wow. The current structure of the federal government and the executive departments, and finally, recommendations by the chief of protocol based on practical treatment of a particular position or positions. How many of you want this job? Yeah, I'm not thinking I want this. So, I have now the list of people in the federal government and their ranking, according to this document of precedence in that was revised in 2017. Who's number one? President, right. President of the United States is number one. Number two? Vice President. Number three? This is interesting. Governor of a state when in own state. So depending on where this event is happening, if it's happening in Colorado, the governor of Colorado would be number three. Number four, Speaker of the House of Representatives. Number five, Chief Justice of the United States. And then it goes on and on and on and on and on. So I'd like to read to you number 13E because there's, 14E. This is really interesting. 14A is House Majority Leader, and then 14B, House Minority Leader. Then C, House Minority Whip. D, House Minority Whip. And now E, members of the House of Representatives. And this is in brackets. By length of service. If the same, by the state's date of admission into the Union. Or alphabetically by state. We need to make sure nobody gets embarrassed as it's sitting in the wrong place, right? Oh my gosh, and there's somebody who knows these things, or they can come to at least this cheat sheet. And then I'd like to share with you a couple others here. 42A, this is down towards the end of the list, and I can't wait till Linda's here. I didn't see anywhere in here about the head of EPA being on here anywhere, but I'm sure she'll find it. So, 42A, one-star military brigadier generals, rear admirals, in order of seniority, retired officers rank with but after active officers. And then the last one, 42I. First secretary rank officials assigned to foreign bilateral diplomatic missions in Washington, D.C. Isn't it good to know that there's a list that you can go to so you don't have to worry about, you know, sending somebody in the wrong place? First of all, if you have all these people in one place, that's one big party, right? But isn't it interesting the amount of energy that goes into making sure that we have people sitting in the right places? And now we have Jesus talking. Because this isn't new. This has been going on and will probably continue to go on. And I understand why this can be important. But I'm wondering if Jesus is not so much interested in a seating chart at a party. But I wonder if he's revealing to us another way of being together when we're at the party. Because so much of this is based on our rank in society or our rank in the organization. And when we have a wedding party, sometimes it can be looked that way. But I'm wondering if Jesus is saying, stop it. Your rank, your value is not in the things that you are proclaiming that you have. Your rank, your value is not based in whether you have a lot of money or not. And you can buy the front pews. Your rank and your value is not based on how many voters voted for you. Your rank and your value is not based on how long you've been at some place. Jesus is saying your rank and your value is based not in anything that you've done or not done. It is in your relationship with God. And my friends, when I look to my brother in Christ, Bob, he and I are the same value and rank in God's eyes. Thanks be to God. And I wonder if Jesus is revealing for us another way of being together that frees us. Oh my goodness, can you imagine if you didn't have to have this? Or you didn't have to have it at our other gatherings where we think, okay, these people need to sit there. We'd make sure these people don't sit next to one another. What would it be like if we were freed from all of that and our time and energy could be to be together equally just as we are? And we don't have to pretend or try to be anything different, but be just who we are, children of God. I just imagine, what could that look like? Where might we catch a glimpse of that? And I think maybe one place we catch a glimpse of this is right here at Christ's table. Because I'm not aware of anybody or any place up here having a place of more prestige than another. Each of us comes up to this table, Christ's table, and is welcomed equally. In fact, it's really fascinating and really powerful for me as a pastor here at Holy Shepherd to hear consistently one of the most popular things that you say to me about our being together and in worship. It is, we appreciate how we invite people to Christ's table. And how we try really hard to make it clear that all are welcome. And consistently, I hear feedback, positive feedback on just that. So, is this one of those places we're catching a glimpse? Catching a glimpse of this upside-down kingdom that God or Christ is revealing in this message today. Your value isn't in which row you sit in, how much money you put in the offering plate, if you write it an elaborate prayer or not an elaborate prayer, or you have this type of car or that type of car, your value is not any of that. Your value here at Christ's table is the value that you have that's been given to you in your baptism. You're children of God. And that is far more than enough. And then I start to ponder, is this the only place that this kingdom that God is revealing to us through Jesus in this story, is this the only place that that is to be experienced? I pray to God, no, that's not the only place. What would it look like after you, when you left here, after being fed by Christ? What would it look like if we went out into the world and lived in the world, but we were not of this world, of that world, we were of this world where Christ gives us our value? What would it look like if we lived in that world and of God's kingdom, revealing this reality, that we look at one another first and foremost as children of God? And we see each other that way first and foremost. And then all our uniquenesses beyond that. Uniquenesses that are good. It is so good to know that I am not the same person as Mel. It is good to know that Mel is not the same person as Michael. That's probably really good news for you, just so you know. And at the same time, isn't it good to know that Mel is Mel, and Dell is Dell, and Ruth is Ruth, and all throughout this room, and beyond this room? May we, brothers and sisters in Christ, when we are fed and nourished at Christ's table, where we catch another glimpse of this kingdom that God is bringing in through Jesus, may we find the nourishment and the courage and the faith and the love to reveal it in the rest of the world. With God's help, we can. Amen.